Well, we're going to take your phone calls now. My fast blasts run the gamut from historic program, arrest Jim Fetzer, he's a hero. It goes on and on and on. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls. We'll talk with Jim Fetzer in a moment. Don't kill the messenger on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Jim Fetzer, our guest. We'll take your phone calls. Jim, as we look at all this, you know, what's also fascinating is still the polarization of this issue. It's still a hot issue, and it still shows me how divided the country is over this.
Well, it has a psychological dimension, George, because the very idea that the government that's supposed to protect you might in fact be abusing you, it's a lot like incest. It's something that is so traumatic, it's so devastating to contemplate, that you know how many mothers deny that it's even taking place. In this case, it's so many citizens even deny that it's taking place because they're petrified at the ramifications. Psychologists call it cognitive dissonance, when there are beliefs that threaten your previous beliefs and you find it impossible to reconcile them, and denial becomes the role that you adopt.
It's almost as if it is true, we don't want to know it.
That's right. But we have to know. It's like cancer, okay? That claim that what you don't know can't hurt you has never been more false. This government has fallen into the hands of gross abusers. They're committing incest on the nation on a grand scale, and if we don't stop them, we are going to suffer the ravages. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Let's take some calls and other views. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Hi, George.
Oh, this is Lisa and Victor.
Yes
from Wink TV. Welcome to the program.
Thanks,
thank
George.
You.
Wanted to bring you two on also very briefly just to express your views. I know you know Jim Fetzer quite a bit, and you've really devoted most of both your careers to this issue. Based on some of the things you've heard tonight, what do you think?
Well, George, everything they've said is so right on the mark, and I want to go back to a quote that Morgan Reynolds says. He says, we can convict them in court of law. Our evidence is strong enough. Right now, we have the awareness, we have the proof. It's time now to start taking action and doing something about this, to get this into a court of law and convict the people that were behind it.
And do you want to know something else, too? We don't have to use any conspiracy theory to do this, because we have Galileo and Isaac Newton on our side. The truth can stand on its own two feet.
Right. And our biggest fear, George, is that this case is going to become like the John F. Kennedy case. Everybody knows that Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't the lone nut assassin, but not one single individual who was responsible for Kennedy's assassination was convicted. We need to get the people behind this convicted. Jim Fetzer gave a whole string of names. I agree with every single one of them that he said. We need these people in a court of law, and we need to convict them.
Well, and unlike the Kennedy assassination, where most of these documents are sealed for the next zillion years, can we get to these kind of documents that might be needed?
Well, we can not only get to the documents, I believe, if there's some kind of court order, but just using the physics, along with Stephen Jones, Morgan Reynolds, David Ray Griffin, Jim Fetzer, and so many other independent researchers, if we bring this into a court of law, I guarantee 100% that there can be conviction.
Well, and as both of you feel, too, the science of this is very important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we must stress that the government has not brought forth any solid proof of any of its allegations regarding 9/11.
Yeah, and
absolutely none.
And one other thing we'd like to also stress is that this fall in September is going to be the fifth anniversary of 9/11. This is a big one. We'd like everybody to show their outrage with the lies that have been perpetrated and come to ground zero, come to the emotional epicenter. Last year we were there for the fourth anniversary, and the reception we got was phenomenal. People wanted to know the truth. And we need you, George, and all of the different independent media sources out there to spread the word and say, let's make a strong showing at ground zero. Let's get tens of thousands of people like there was at the White House last September 24th, when there was approximately 250,000 to 300,000 people protesting the war.
And we feel this is very important because this administration is going to scatter once their time is up in the White House, and there are going to be new puppets in place. And these people are going to scatter to the winds, and our time is short.
Yeah, and we can't give Jim Fetzer enough credit. His group now,
Absolutely.
Scholars for 9/11 Truth, has become the lightning rod. This is the best hope we've had yet, and we just hope that Jim, along with us and everyone else in the media, can push this forward to get people ground zero and get this case in a court of law.
Well, you're making people's eyes open up, and I think that's important.
All right. We thank you very
Thanks.
Much, George.
Appreciate
for what
you being
doing.
On the show.
Thank you.
Jim,
thank
with
George.
With you and your group, has anybody had their positions threatened or anything like that because you've taken such a strong stance on this?
Well, fortunately, the University of Minnesota has always been very supportive of all my research on JFK. What I must say in relation to Lisa and Victor's mild optimism, I'm apprehensive that this administration is not going to relinquish power, that they're going to use the occurrence of another a contrived terrorist attack in order to suspend the Constitution, that they're trying to undermine the Posse Comitatus law by all sorts of subtle techniques. I believe what happened with Katrina, I mean, they knew for days Katrina was going to hit, and yet somehow FEMA fumbled the ball. How could that possibly happen? FEMA was a marvel of the world under Bill Clinton. They could have made all kinds of responses. I believe they wanted to send in the military to make it look as though only the military could cope with a situation like this. It's the sort of thing they suggested regarding bird flu in having quarantines. They've suggested the military. This is a role the military should never play in American society.
You know, Jim, Bill Clinton wasn't a saint on all this either. I mean, a lot of things happened on his watch.
Oh, but I'm talking about FEMA being the marvel of the world when Clinton was in office. That FEMA was admired. It was rapid response to natural disasters. No, Clinton was no saint. But my God, I mean, what's gone on in this administration? I mean, this is raping and pillaging and looting the country, even the world, George. It's a shocking situation.
Next up, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi there. Good morning, George.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I just have a quick question. As citizens watching this happen to us, what can we do, Jim? Well, how can citizens, besides, you know, talk about it and bring it aware of it, what can we do to prepare for this?
Well, there are two or three things I would suggest. Number one, this man, this administration has committed so many impeachable offenses that if the Congress had any guts, any integrity, any intestinal fortitude, any commitment to the Constitution, he would have been subjected to an impeachment a long time ago. Number two, what that means is the Congress has to be reconstituted. The Congress has been co-opted. The Congress is completely corrupt. You have to vote, whether they're Democrat or Republican, vote every one of them out of office unless they can justify being returned, and you better have very stringent standards for that. Number three, if you're using electronic voting machines, you can forget it. They're all controlled by Republican corporations. They're dirty. They manipulate the vote. These guys learned from Stalin, who said it doesn't matter who casts the votes. What matters is who counts them. Those electronic voting machines, and I'm an expert in this field, are so easily contrived, it's ridiculous. This is shameful. And anyone who tells you that those electronic voting machines without paper trails are a good thing is denying you your democratic right to cast your vote. They are traitors to the country. Take my word for it. And finally, I believe that if there's an effort made to remove this party from office, they're going to resist it, and they're going to attempt to use the American military against the American people. I have therefore come around to the belief that the Second Amendment may be our most precious amendment, that every American should be willing to fortify his own country because we may have to undergo a second American revolution.
I take it you're not a Republican, Jim.
Judge, I would be rightly described as a liberal in the sense that liberals believe that everyone deserves representation, not just the rich. This administration has become so warped, so corrupt, it's violated every principle for which the Republican Party has ever traditionally stood. When I was growing up, my father, who studied politics at UCLA, told me Republicans believe in balanced budgets. They believe in constitutional government. They believe in a non-interventionist foreign policy. They believe in keeping government out of your personal life. This administration has violated every single one of those principles. I cannot understand why any Republican of any integrity would support this Bush clique in this administration, which has perverted the Constitution and is turning the country into a cesspool.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to calm down on this now, okay, and to take some of these questions because I think you're getting too involved in it tonight. Is that fair?
Yep.
Wild Card Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. I'm Bruce. I'm in L.A.
Hi, Bruce.
His passion is fine because my passion is just as equal. I got to tell you, your argument, sir, is completely senseless. It's all across the board. You have no continuity, no logic, and you contradict yourself repeatedly.
Well, you want to give an example?
I'm going to give you several.
Good.
Okay. The neoconservatives planned and carried out 9/11, according to you. But you then go back and say that the Soviet Union was something that, because it collapsed, they needed something else, right? Well, Ronald Reagan was a conservative. He's the one that made the Soviet Union collapse. He's a conservative, so I don't get...
Well, Ronald Reagan wasn't a spokesman for the military-industrial complex. I mean, he may have served purpose.
He was back when he was in office, according to the list.
Well, may I answer your question?
Yeah.
Eisenhower warned us about the accumulation of excessive power by the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that once the Soviet Union had disappeared...
Because of Reagan.
Which the CIA, by the way, did not predict, notwithstanding that we're paying it vast sums of money, there was a need here to find some new rationale...
But you're not addressing what I said.
...to the military-industrial complex. I'm not saying the same individual persons were involved, but I am saying the same institutional interests were involved.
Right, but you're saying the same philosophy, but you're not making sense because... You're saying that the Soviet Union was the boogeyman and we needed a new one. But the same people that you're blaming now is the same philosophy, same party, the same conservative outview that made the Soviet Union collapse.
I think you better read the Project for the New American Century because they lay out their blueprint perfectly for creating a new American empire. And they explain that there's a unique opportunity here. You can find it also outlined in Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard. Zbig sketches the same idea of America becoming a colossus astride of the world. This was nothing that was contemplated in Reagan's day or prior to that. It's a neocon philosophy they've sought to implement.
Right,
They needed a precipitating event, some traumatic event, in order to bring the American people to be willing to make the sacrifices, both financial, monetary, and in terms of human sacrifice, of their young men and women to make it happen. They needed 9/11.
All right, here's a question. The first World Trade Center attack you claimed was all part of this to soften it up. Bill Clinton was president. How did the neocons get past Billy Boy to do that?
Morgan made that observation, and he and I might or might not agree with that. I'm talking about 9/11 now.
Where's Barbara Olson?
Listen, fella, can you change the laws of nature?
Where's
that
Barbara
melting point
Olson?
Of steel is 2,800 degrees
right,
Fahrenheit.
Right, but that doesn't point to
the
any individual.
The temperature of fire is 1,800 degrees. Do you understand they've been lying to us?
Right, but what you're talking about, the physics.
But you understand they've been lying to us. Do you agree that the Twin Towers came down through a controlled demolition and not by the impact of fire and flames?
What you're saying is that's nature or that's physics, but physics is physics, but that doesn't make certain individuals responsible for those physics.
Well, who do you think was covering it all up? Did George Bush and Dick Cheney try to get to the heart of the matter, or did they try to conceal it and resist
even
an investigation of it?
Maybe some of it's national security, and it's not a cover-up. It's just, you know, when you're fighting a war against...
They wouldn't even testify under oath. I mean, you really aren't paying attention. They resisted this. They wouldn't have even had an investigation except for pressure brought by the families of the survivors.
I see. Kind of like when the Clinton administration, your favorite, who went and who was president during the first World Trade Center, went and killed all those women and children in Texas at Waco.
Oh, I think that was a very despicable act. Waco, Ruby Ridge, whatever happened in Oklahoma City. But what we're talking about tonight is 9/11. I'm not trying to exonerate Bill Clinton. I'm implicating the Bush administration.
All right, let's move on to some other callers. Gosh, this hour's almost already gone. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Tony, and I'm listening to you on the AM morning waves. I'm a first-time caller.
Either you're out in Pennsylvania.
I'm calling from Bedford, Pennsylvania,
sure.
20 miles from Indian Lake. I had my 20th high school reunion there and grew up in Somerset Borough, the seat of Somerset County. I know all the people, Wally Miller, the coroner, and everybody who was out there in the crash and investigated it and combed the land. And there are a lot of questions. And it doesn't seem like it was a plane wreck that necessarily went whole into the ground. People around here do question
the official story.
But to suggest that it is a cover-up in the sense of, I don't know, a conspiracy to bring down the government brought on by the Bush administration, I find difficult to believe. In fact, I think that the guy and everybody under him are idiots, and that we, and all of your comments and your guest comments tonight presume one thing, that the government, because of who they are and where they are, know everything and are capable of doing this. And that is a cult of personality. I think George Bush, before he sold the Texas Rangers, was a bust. And he rises to power through modern media and being the selected one. We didn't go to war to Iraq before George Bush got in because the Republican Congress wouldn't let it. George Bush was a neophyte. And Al Gore would have won the presidency with the Middle East blown up in Iraq. There's a reason why. And I think 9/11 was simply a bunch of bumbling idiots. And the characterization of bin Laden being the mastermind, he okayed a general plan, and the mechanisms and the, you know, how to go about it was done on the field in modern countries, Germany, France, the Middle East, UAE, and so they took advantage of the American weakness of the cult of personality. But what I will agree with you on is that I think that the neoconservatives have taken 9/11 and have now usurped it or used it for ulterior purposes and to achieve foreign policy objectives that they could not win in an open debate pre-9/11. And that is where we are becoming victims.
You want to react to this, Jim, before the break?
Well, I'll take the good. I couldn't quite sort out the rest of it. I mean, you can look at what's going on here as a lot of bumbling incompetence like Katrina. You can look at the Iraq. I mean, what a mess we're in Iraq. You can look at the absurdity now of bringing this United Arab Emirates company into looking after our ports. What are they going to propose next? That our nuclear power plants be placed at the disposal of the bin Laden family? I mean, there's a long history here of George W. Bush being in the Bush family being in business with Saudi Arabia. There's a very important book called House of Bush, House of Saud that every American ought to read. Just go on Google and read the summary from Publishers Weekly, and it'll send a chill up your spine.
All right, stay with us, but I'll tell you one thing. If we were in China, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. You'd hear just that. Stay with us. Jim Fetzer is our guest. We'll take the rest of your phone calls, our final phone calls, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and again, if you need to email me, as thousands of you have done tonight, go right ahead at george@coasttocoastam.com. My fast blast is almost jammed here, but we can squeeze a few more in. We'll be back in a moment with James Fetzer and the rest of your phone calls. Of course, he's representing a group of scholars and experts, at least 100 strong now. They call themselves Scholars for 9/11 Truth. They have formed this organization to try to get out their views on what they believe happened on 9/11. Hey, by the way, say a little prayer for Richard C. Hoagland. He's doing better now, but a couple weeks ago he got very, very ill at the Los Angeles Expo. And paramedics, when he finally landed back in New Mexico, paramedics met him at the airport and wheeled him away. And Robin has sent me a few emails that said he's getting better now. But it was touch and go for a while. So get well, Richard C., and get back on the program. And we'll be back with the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Jim, what can you and your organization do in a very orderly, methodical way to try to get more information out in an official way? I mean, can you call for, can you get a new 9/11 commission, or is that never going to happen?
Well, the problem, George, is as soon as you turn to Congress, you get politicalization. We saw this with JFK, with the Warren Commission and the House Select Committee reinvestigation. We saw it with this 9/11 commission. There's not going to be a congressional resolution of this. It's going to require, for example, that the district attorneys and the attorneys general of the states where these crimes were committed should pick up the issue. I mean, you got great men like Elliot Spitzer in New York, and I have no idea if he's paying any attention to this. But no citizen can bring a criminal case. It's got to be done by the district attorneys and the attorneys general. If indictments were brought against some of these figures in the Bush administration, it could have reverberations that would be felt around the world. That would be a great thing. Otherwise, we have to reconstitute Congress. But my anguish over electronic voting machines is so profound because, see, these people are so clever. They're using our own taxpayer money to fund the purchase of electronic voting machines that are controlled by GOP Bush sympathizers. The Europeans think we're insane to allow a private country to control these electronic voting machines. I'm in the position of being a Luddite. These were a group, you know, who thought that machines were a bad thing. They took sledgehammers to knock them apart. I want to tell Americans, by God, if you're forced to use those electronic voting machines and they have no paper trail, take sledgehammers to them and trash them apart because they are depriving
Jim,
you of your liberty.
People will get arrested if they do that.
George, there are worse things than being arrested. We got to stand up for our country.
I think the guy who was heading up Diebold, who promised to bring the election to George Bush, has resigned.
There are signs here, but then the Secretary of State in California has just certified Diebold. It was done in the middle of the night. This is a terrible thing. I cannot believe it. But that in California, if something like that can happen in California, it can happen anywhere.
Yeah, I know. We're on that with Bev Harris, so we're not going to let that story die.
Great.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Get us going. What's left of this time? Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
This is Gene from New Mexico. I was telling your screener that I agree with some of what your guest has to say, but some of the things I disagree with. One of the things I disagree with is metal will burn. I have been in the mechanic field for quite a few years now. I have seen trucks catch on fire from a fuel fire and literally burn and melt to the ground. The second thing I disagree with about the conspiracy theory, like on the thing that happened in New Orleans, is I was watching the History Channel quite a few years back. I did not know that it set under, below sea level. And me and my wife was talking about that. And it's like I said then, and we told each other, wow, if something was to ever happen there, why would somebody want to live below sea level? It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, they always thought that those pumps would work, I guess.
Well, common sense those tells levees me that would they work. Might not work. And some of what he's saying, like I said, I think is true. But
well, what do you believe in?
He's on a bandwagon here also.
What part do you think is true?
When the towers come down, that was kind of suspicious. I'll give that. But then to have a cover-up, the major cover-up that he's talking about, I don't see.
All right, Jim, let me ask you this. I got an email during the top of the hour break from someone who lives in New York and says that the towers were built to go down and collapse that way in case anything ever happened to them so they wouldn't fall into other buildings. Would you accept that?
No. These were wonderfully constructed buildings. I mean, if you look at the photographs of them under construction, they're massive, they're impressive. And the way they came down, George, they were exploding from the top. Every floor was blowing out as they were coming down. They came down in 10 seconds. That's impossible unless there was no resistance whatsoever.
Well,
what they're saying is just wrong.
The part that really interests me is what you brought up about the fact that a security company had closed portions of the building and chased people out and shut down the cameras.
That's
I mean, that's
correct.
Weird.
Securicom, George.
Is that documentable?
Bush's brother, a director.
Is that documentable?
Oh, sure.
It is.
Yes.
Our first-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Newt. I'm from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Hello,
long-time
Newt.
Listener.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Hey, I think that the buildings must have been brought down by controlled demolition because obviously a plane 80 stories up is not going to knock out the base of a building. And building number 7 wasn't touched by anything, and it fell in less than 7 seconds.
You're absolutely right.
I've heard that the bomb-sniffing dogs were pulled off 5-6 days before the attack. But my question is, how come with all that debris, if it was brought down by bombs, isn't there chemical traces, et cetera, things like that? I mean,
they hauled everything away right away. That was another problem.
That's right. Even the fire chiefs in their magazine were saying this was completely wrong, that there had to be a forensic examination. It would have revealed the use of these explosives. The company that did all this was a very efficient company by the name of Controlled Demolition Incorporated.
There was... I guess an individual in the basement or somewhere. His name was Rodriguez.
William Rodriguez.
What did we know about him?
He was working in the sub-basements, and there was a tremendous explosion. A 50-ton hydraulic press was blown away. One of his friends had his skin blown off his body. This was a massive explosion in the sub-basements that occurred about the time that the planes impacted. It appears to have been designed to remove the structural supports from those 47 central beams so that the buildings were then only kept up by the external steel supports, the 240, which were then blown away when they brought the buildings down.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't know if you're familiar with the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board.
Who's on that board?
That's the thing. There's been like two iterations of this. The first ones are, Brent Scowcroft was the chairman, and, you know, he was against the Iraq war, so he was more or less kicked off. So the rest of the members all appeared to be Bush donors, the pioneers, or they weren't qualified whatsoever in intelligence.
I don't know about this organization. How about you, Mr. Fetzer?
Well, you know, he has many advisory boards, and he can pay attention to who he wants or not, but Brent Scowcroft has been very critical of the Bush foreign policy. In fact, some of the neocons are starting to abandon the old neocon philosophy. Francis Fukuyama, for example, there's an article we just put up on the website for ST-911, who is renouncing their policy and saying it was a Leninist policy that presumed you could impose democracy on other countries, whether they wanted it or not, and he no longer believes it, and he thinks the whole thing was a mistake, and it was based on an exaggerated fear about Islamic fundamentalism that didn't exist, and he thinks the whole thing's a blunder. It's a fascinating piece, and it's just appeared.
So do you believe that bin Laden just has faded away, he's gone, may never be found again?
Well, they needed the boogeyman. I mean, Morgan's absolutely right about that. He's of more value to them as a mythical figure than he is if he were, you know, they had his head on a platter. Because then an awful lot of Americans would say, well, justice has been served. But, you know, so much of this claim, the invasion of Iraq, was predicated on all of these misrepresentations, where you had one member of the administration after another just repeating 9/11 Saddam Hussein, 9/11 Saddam Hussein, 9/11 Saddam Hussein. It's a form of very elementary kind of psychological conditioning. There was never any evidence that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9/11. 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi Arabian. You would think that would lead to some major investigation of Saudi Arabian connection. Actually, that part was deleted from the 9/11 Commission report. They simply took it out.
I know.
Ask yourself, what in the world is going on here?
Jim, I got to tell you, I may not believe or agree with everything that you've said tonight, or Morgan, or David Ray Griffin, and Lisa and Victor bring up some interesting facets of this whole thing. But I do have to tell you, there are some very strange anomalies in this whole thing, and things that are not right. They don't make sense enough, I think, where this thing should be opened up again and questioned in a much more thorough way. I think if David Ray Griffin, for example, had the opportunity to bring from his book alone unanswered questions, it would shock Americans if it were done in a committee form, don't you?
Yes. He's a magnificent human being. He's been carrying the burden of this message himself for years now, I mean, this organization now is really bringing him tremendous support, but, I mean, the man is magnificent. I can't tell you, George, how indebted I am to you for covering this. Frankly, I mean, if this were a Democratic administration doing it, we'd be saying the same thing. We are scholars, we are nonpartisan, and however passionate I may be about this, it's because this administration is abusing our country, and it just happens to be GOP and Bush. But I've explained why. These are not traditional Republicans, and I can't understand why any principled Republicans would support them.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm tired of being in this war economy. It seems like we've been in it forever.
Yes.
And, you know, I think Americans are tired of it. There's a tension here. And
George, on TV tonight, they were reporting that this war is costing every taxpayer $2,000 a year already. Just stop and think about what you could do with $2,000 a year. I mean, all this money is being diverted. It's being dumped into defense. It's being taken away from education. It's being taken away from... They want to privatize Social Security. All these companies are dumping their pensions. It's shocking. It should never happen. This is totally un-American. It's so unfair to the working men and women of this nation.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Charlie from Ormond Beach. That's a suburb of Daytona Beach in Florida.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, I'd just like to get a little bit of weight on the other side of this argument, and I'd like to ask these gentlemen a couple of questions and have them respond without being drowned out with other issues being raised. In
all
the
right, go ahead,
subject.
Charlie.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to preface all this and say, to me, personally, it's my opinion, this topic, title of this topic tonight should be probably something more like, how can we demean the Bush administration so Hillary Clinton can be elected? Now, I'll ask my questions now. First of all, one gentleman called in. It was completely drowned out. I refuse to be drowned out. If this is all a sinister plot on the Bush administration, by the Bush administration, how do we explain in 1993 the Trade Tower explosions that went on there when the Democrats were in office? I mean, bin Laden and these and the Al-Qaeda and their terrorists must be real, okay? I mean, that's a fact. That occurred, and we didn't hear all these sinister plots and fabrication of a terrorist back in those days. And the other question I have was when they mentioned the New York Times, my gosh, the New York Times is certainly not a conservative paper. And the New York Times has not ever alleged that all this is some kind of a fabrication, sinister plot, and terrorists don't exist. And what would David Gregory say about all this? He would certainly take the opportunity to expose this as a sinister plot. It's simply a case of a bunch of Democrats trying to demean, in my opinion, trying to demean the Bush administration. It goes on and on. This was a surprise attack, no different than Pearl Harbor in a lot of ways, and more devastating, certainly. Those are my questions, and I'd love to hear an answer.
Okay, well, I'll answer for you the Al-Qaeda one, because I don't agree with Jim on that. I believe Al-Qaeda is out there and that it is a part of this. I do think there are some puppeteers involved. That's my take. Jim, but why don't you handle the New York Times angle?
Well, basically, Al-Qaeda was a creation of our CIA as an anti-Soviet program in Afghanistan. I mean, the problem is how often these movements, you know, turn around to bite us. I mean, as far as what happened in 1993, I mean, I'm willing to believe that that was some little cell that had some you know, effort to make. They were totally incompetent, of course. I mean, their explosion didn't move anything. To think that they could have perpetrated, you know, individuals of that level of skill or ability. Hey, these guys who are supposed to have done it couldn't have even flown the planes. There are five or six of them are alive and well and living in Saudi Arabia. I mean, the cell phones can't possibly have been made from the aircraft. I mean, this guy is literally ignorant of all of the evidence that shows the sorts of things he's saying are completely and utterly false. And we are, look, Morgan Reynolds was the economic advisor to the Department of Labor in the Bush administration. It was a political appointment. He's a prominent Republican. David Ray Griffin, I'm absolutely 100% certain, is an independent. I may typically vote Democratic, but I make my judgment based upon what I think is best for the country. We are a nonpartisan group. It's objective scientific evidence that you can find on our website that has brought us to these conclusions. We aren't happy about it.
Well, there you go, sir. Any more follow-up?
Well, I just say that, you're going to hear this rhetoric over and over again as we approach the elections, okay? And I just believe that George Bush, this was a surprise attack. It was like a Category 1 hurricane that went to a Category 5 overnight. What the heck do you do? No one would anticipate.
Well, let me ask you this, because it's very possible that he was totally in the dark about this, as he claims he was about this United Arab Emirates ports deal. As he's been saying, he said, I didn't know anything about it until it was done. Do you think it's possible, Charlie?
Yes.
Do you think it's possible that some people who are in this industrial military complex may have helped concoct this, whether it was with Al-Qaeda or not? And, of course, George Bush didn't even know what was going on.
Well, I think the president should be advised with his intelligence all the time. However, you know, I don't want to pick on Democrats, but I got to say that our intelligence community was just about wiped out during the Clinton administration's 8 years. I mean, we basically had no intelligence left.
He decimated it.
Bush had a pickup with an economy after that. And, you know, you mentioned things like the stock market. I was in the stock market at 27 and retired at 35. I'm no dummy. And I'll tell you one thing very clear about the stock market. It was a self-perpetuating success story for this entire country, diversified in so many different businesses. And when you talk about the stock market, it was devastating for a lot of my friends.
Well, I know, but his point was, though, somebody sold the insurance companies and the airlines short right before 9/11. Somebody knew that they were going to plummet.
Well, I tell you who bought a lot of puts was Bin Laden. You know, he made a lot of money off of this. It's just
But we'll never know that unless the Securities and Exchange Commission tells us this.
Well, it's no different than the Tylenol story. I met somebody that was in prison with the Tylenol guy. You remember the guy?
Oh yeah,
who was crazy?
The guy in Chicago.
He wasn't crazy at all. He made lots of money doing that because he knew. The Tylenol stock.
Interesting. Good point. Hey, we're out of time. The show's over. Jim Fetzer, this is not going to go away, but we'll talk to you probably as we get close to Kennedy assassination anniversary date again.
George, I can't thank you enough, and all your listeners, I urge them to go to st911.org and take a look at the evidence for themselves. It's all there laid out for their contemplation, and I just must say the future of our country is at stake. This is a desperate situation, and my grief is over the possibility that we're going to lose freedom and democracy forever.
And whether you agree with anything you've heard tonight or not is not really the major issue. The point is that we as free Americans have an opportunity to even talk about this. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. It'll be Friday night open lines. Get ready for some scary stuff, including the Devil Channeler. Be safe, everyone.